that presentation today is by Shamin Hardesty, and I, as per my earlier introduction, she's a nutrition economist in the Department of Agriculture and Research Economics at University of California, Davis, and serves as the director of the University of California Small Farm Program. She's responsible for research, education, and outreach programs related to alternative food marketing systems and small farms and cooperatives. So with that,
Most of the information I'm going to be presenting is based on a USDA AFRI project with Colorado State University, and that project team includes Martha Sullins. So our University of California Small Farm Program that I lead has a very active agritourism component. It's been going on for over 20 years, and Penny Leff is the current agritourism coordinator. We have been very fortunate to receive funding from Western Risk Management Education Program for our outreach efforts. So, and I've been doing a lot of research regarding local foods during the past 10 years, so I was delighted to have this opportunity to mesh the two topics together. Okay, will my slides advance? Is there a delay? Okay, great. Just an overview of the topics I'll be covering, so I'll explain more about the connection between agritourism and local foods, then describe and define agritourism, and then get into the details of the characteristics of agritourism operations. Okay. Advance? Delay? Okay. Agritourism is defined as any income-generating activity on a working farm or ranch. So that's a critical, bolded statement there about the working farm or ranch. You have to have a farm or a ranch that's in progress, actually producing food, before we consider it agritourism. And agritourism involves a very, very broad range of activities, as you can see on that list. So next, I just wanted to say that agritourism connects basically the 98% of our population with our 2% of the producers, of the population that are producers. And what we're doing then is it's basically a know your farmer, know your food kind of a theme there, because there's so many people who are getting interested in know their producers. And oftentimes we have adults that are very interested in where their food comes from, so they get involved with going to some type of an agritourism operation. And oftentimes they make it a family affair, and they'll bring their kids or their grandkids. We also have school field trips, and Martha mentioned farm to school, and that's a lot of the farm to school programs have scheduled school field trips to farms. And then I even brought my Girl Scout troop once, they were 10-year-olds at the time, to pick blueberries. But they complained about the prickliness of the blueberry plants, so I probably should have taken to them a U-pick strawberry operation instead. Okay, I see the slide here that's got the agritourism operations, a map in California. The purple spots are wineries. We include wineries that have tasting rooms and vineyards adjacent to them as part of our agritourism operations. We do have a lot of wineries here showing up on this map. The gold-colored dots are the more agricultural and ranching types of operations that offer some form of agritourism as well. Next, we've got the map of Colorado, and there again you see some clusters of agritourism operations. Colorado doesn't have as many operations, but there are the noticeable clusters, and the darker the green, the more operations there are. And they also include a lot of nature tourism operations and give the tourists an opportunity to watch wildlife. Next. Okay, so where are we generating revenues for agritourism? What kinds of activities are the most popular? Well, for both the states, you see that direct sales are the most common way. And, of course, that will include consumers going to the farm to just buy at a farm stand the apples or strawberries that are already been picked. or they can do UPIC as well. And also included in that direct sales would be those, what Karen was mentioning, the value-added foods. So you have the farmers that take the time to make their jams and jellies, and they're also available to be sold year-round. So it's a great way of expanding their income sources. For the rest of these activities, we kind of have a difference of the breakouts in the pie chart. Accommodations are a pretty common revenue source for agritourism in Colorado, 14%, but only 6% in California. The same for the outdoor recreation, hunting, fishing, bird watching. That's big in Colorado, but not so much in California. Then in California, we have more educational activities for kids or adults. And so I mentioned the school visits already, but we also have adults taking classes, like they can take a class in jam making or another form of cooking, and that would be considered agritourism on a farm. Then we also have pretty high popularity of entertainment and special events. You've got pumpkin patches and corn mazes. Our local big event is the Hose Down Festival at the end of the harvest. And my own personal special event that I took part in last summer was my niece's wedding was held at a ranch up north just by Mount Shasta. And I had the privilege of picking up cow patties before the wedding so that people didn't have to walk on them. Very hands-on kind of experience there. Next, have the number of days that our agritourism operations are open, and you can see that there's a fair number that that are open virtually all year round, and in particular with California offering having 36% of its operations in that 251 days to 365 days. A lot of that is our wineries. For Colorado, you see that the peak category is the 101 to 250 days, and that's also, you know, those are hardworking people. They're spending a lot of time not only producing crops and livestock, but they're also operating a agritourism operation. So then you have the very small percentage there on the other end of the chart with 10 days or less, and I would say a lot of those would be your seasonal pumpkin patches, the corn mazes, perhaps even Christmas tree farms. Let's see. Looks like my slides are not advancing. Okay. In terms of the number of visitors for our operations, this pie chart shows for California and Colorado combined, 40% are actually have between 201 and 1,000 visitors. So that's a fair number of visitors. That's the largest category. And then the groups that have over 1,000, the purple and the gold and the red and turquoise slices, they add up to 37%. So there is some fairly big operations, very active operations. Then we have that small green and blue sector, so with the 50 or less being 13%, I'm assuming that a lot of those may be just getting started with their agritourism operation. Or there also could be a very expensive dude ranch stay that generates a lot of revenue without having to have a whole lot of visitors. Next. So we also need to know, you know, how do these agritours find out about these various agritourism operations? The biggest source is that word of mouth. It's kind of what you'd expect, but there's a lot of that, especially for the local types of activities. So that's a very important message, I think, to pass on to the agritourism operators, is to encourage that type of communication once they have their satisfied customers. The second most popular mechanism is websites, and that's an obvious one for us. And then next we have a more general social media. And fourth, we have Yelp or TripAdvisor as another form of social media, especially being called out. So you can see that the overall social media is a very important and relatively inexpensive mechanism for getting agritourists informed. informed about their opportunities. And then we have the more traditional sources, the direct mail and tourism guides and road signs even, and just the basic sign, highway sign, or sign outside the business. All different ways to promote the business. Okay, next we go on to where do the agritourism operations generate the most revenue. So this is important because we know that the reason for agritourism basically is to generate additional income for the farm or the ranch. And, you know, this then gives them a way to diversify their income sources and can stretch out the number of months that a farming operation is able to generate revenue. We see here that the peak on these charts is between the 5,000 and 25,000 category for gross revenues from their agritourism operation. And that just tells me that there's a lot of opportunity for agritourism to grow. We can see also that we've got under the less than $5,000 revenue categories that makes up 21% of Colorado and 25% of California as well. So there again, you do have that great potential. Then on the other end, you've got the $1 million plus categories, and you can see that there's a significant opportunity to generate quite a bit of revenue. And in particular, you've got 8% of the Colorado operations and 5% of the California operations in that category. Next, we'll see about the profitability. So let's look at the box on the left for direct sales. And you see for direct sales that you've got the purple slice of, the 2,500 to 25,000 as being the most heavy generating category. And then we've got for agritourism, for the accommodations, very surprising, the larger income categories there. Or profit categories there seems to be very profitable. We go on to entertainment and events, and again, you can generate, you've got a bulk of these operations generating over $25,000 in profit during the year. And the diversified operations, those would be the ones that are combining, say, direct sales with entertainment or accommodations. There you've got them in that 2,500 to 25,000 category. So we'll move on next to the pet challenges that our agritourism operations face, and that's important to know about. When we did the survey, we allowed them to have multiple responses. So you'll see that there's several categories that are fairly high in terms of being identified as a challenge. So we see for Colorado, there are more internal challenges. Their biggest challenge is 68% of them said management time and expertise, and then their marketing, and then financial capital access. Now, California is a little different. When we look down at the olive green bars for them, we see that state and local regulations were identified by 61% as being very challenging. And then we go to the city and county permitting and zoning, again, regulations. And then they say that we've got management time and expertise is also a challenge for about 50% of them. So in the case of California, we do have more regulations because it's a more mature industry in California. We've had regulations related to the wine industry in the Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino areas for many years, and now the other areas of California that have gotten involved in wine tourism have also developed regulations for their visitations. Then we also have lots of regional farm trails groups that support their members. Moving on here then, we can talk about the age of the agritourism business. So you can see that the 20 and more years that we call the veteran operations, And oftentimes, these are not the same operators that have been doing it for the 20 years. They've passed it down generations of their family to get to that point. We also have the biggest group as what we call the established operations. They've been operating for between 5 and 19 years. In both cases, the states are very similar in those their age of operations. And we do have about a quarter of our operations in both states being under 5 years, and I certainly expect that category to grow in the future. So moving on here, talk about the education level of our agritourism operations. When we did this survey, I was very, very surprised. We have a very educated group of agritourism operators, as you can see from this chart. So on the far end, you've got people with advanced degrees operating their agritourism operations, and even with an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, that's the biggest group in both states. So overall, we do have 78% of the operators in California and 78% of the operations in Colorado and 72% of the operations in California having an associate's degree or more. And then we've only got less than 10% in both states having a high school degree or less. And it seems to me that agritourism, because it's combining agriculture with the other aspects of marketing and hospitality, requires a very complex and demanding activity. So therefore, in a sense, I shouldn't be surprised that we do require that the profession itself requires a high level of education. Next, we'll go on and talk about the future plans for these operations. And what we see here is, despite the fact, or maybe because of their relatively low profit levels, most of the agritourism operations are planning to expand, as you can see from this chart. So we only have 30% saying that they want to remain about the same size, and less than 10% are planning to shrink or actually close up. So again, this looks like a very promising opportunity for many farms and ranches. Despite the regulatory challenges and despite their constrained management time and limited management expertise. So what I see is that these agritourism operators are willing to take a risk in order to reduce their overall risk for their farming operation. And finally, wrapping up here, the prospects, we definitely see this growing interest in local food and how it's led to many farms and ranches creating agritourism operations to improve or expand that farm-to-fork experience. And also what they're doing by connecting with their consumers on the farm is that they're building the knowledge base about agriculture in our urban populations. And that, you know, that's basically influencing the voting public to support agriculture. So there's a second, very important secondary effect there besides the personal benefit to the individual operation. We see that agritourism has a very broad range of offerings, but most of them are generating revenues under $100,000. And we see that most of them are profitable, although very small profitable, and then they're planning to expand their operations. So here's just my contact information. Next. And I should also add that our website for the Small Farm Program, which is sfp.ucdavis.edu, has a lot, much information about agritourism, especially hands-on issues related to various operational issues. Thank you.
Okay, Charmaine, thank you very much. If we're getting questions from domestics of all sizes about agritourism, they really